It's good to be with you again. I've always enjoyed coming to this meeting, and this has been no exception. Just thank the Lord for the churches in this area, the fellowship that you have one with another, and the love that you share to those of us who come and visit with you from time to time. I appreciate that so much. I desire an interest in your prayers this afternoon for several reasons. It's afternoon. Some of you are accustomed to taking a nap. Another reason is that Brother Steve has used a lot of what I was going to talk about. So you preachers know what dilemma we're in. But I'm learning to go with it. Go with it. So if you still got your Bibles open to John chapter 8, keep a finger there. I'll get to it in a minute. The Lord would bless us for a little while. I want to talk about some of these I am's in Scripture, and then some I am's that we are because of Him, because of what He's done for us, because of what we have in Him. We are some things. So I want to go back to that burning bush. We'll start there. I don't have to spend a lot of time with that. Brother Steve has already ably spoken to us about that. But Moses, God called Moses out of that bush, didn't he? Many of you remember Elder Elsie Bryant, Jr. Wonderful brother, wonderful preacher. When I was a young fellow, he preached a message that has stayed with me all my life. Now, brethren, when you preach something that somebody remembers for a long time, you've done something. God blessed you at least, and He blessed me. And he quickly summarized the life of Moses. And he did it this way, and I'll share this with you. When Moses was there and he saw that bush, Moses was a man that for the first 40 years, you know, he lived to be 120. So the first 40 years of his life, he was raised, trained up in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. And he was taught that he was something. Then it entered into his heart to go out and visit his brethren. And he defended one of his brethren and slew an Egyptian. Tried to hide it, but it wasn't hidden. And when it was found out, he had to flee for his life. And he fled to the backside of the desert. And for the next 40 years, he learned he was nothing. Then God called him out of that bush. And for the last 40 years of Moses' life, he was going to learn that God is everything. Amen. Now, I like that, don't you? Amen. We have to learn. We come here naturally thinking we're something. We have to learn we're nothing. But by the grace of God, we learn God is everything. And that's what Moses had to learn. And when God called him out of that bush, you know, it wasn't all that unusual a thing for a bush to be burning in the desert, but it wasn't consumed. And what did God tell him? I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Well, they'd been dead a long time. Well, our way of thinking, they'd been dead a long time. They were still alive.
That's right.
I am. He's still their God. Even today, He's still the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the I Am. And Brother Steve talked about, went on down where the children of Israel, he said, Moses said, when I go down there, who shall I say has sent me? He said, I am that I am has sent thee. You tell them that. The I Am. Yes, the eternal God, Jehovah God. The one that Isaiah says, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Declaring the end from the beginning. Just like the apostle said in Acts 15:18, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. God knew what he would do. And so as we look, as we're blessed to see the things and the truths of God's word, we can see these things from the very beginning. While very early in the book of Genesis, we have glimpses of redemption, don't we? When Adam and Eve sinned and God made a covering for them, there had to be bloodshed, didn't there? And he made those coats of skin to put on them. There's a glimpse of our need for a covering, our need for redemption right there. Declaring the end from the beginning. God knew what he would do. You know, I despise the idea that Jesus was a plan B. You hear that sometimes, don't you? Things just didn't work out the way God intended, and so he had to come up with a plan B. He'd send his son to save us. Bless your hearts, aren't you thankful that we understand the purpose of God, that he from the foundation of the world purposed to save his people before he ever created the world, before he ever made man. He knew what he would do. And so we find that yes, the I am, the self-existent and eternal God. Pharaoh didn't know him. Moses, when he went down there, saying that God said, "Let my people go," Pharaoh said, "Who is that God that I should obey his voice?" Right? Pharaoh thought he was God. The eternal God showed him who's God. Everything that they thought was sacred, he sent miracles to show his power over those things. Nebuchadnezzar didn't know him. When he was getting ready to put those three Hebrew children in the fire, he said, "And who is that God that can deliver you out of my hand?" Well, he's going to show him, wasn't he? As a matter of fact, he looked into the fire and he said, "Did we not cast in three? Lo, I see four, and the fourth is like unto the Son of God." How did he know that? God showed him. God showed him. Eternal, self-existent God. I am. And Jesus, if you were listening to Brother Steve, you hear, you remember that Jesus says he is the I am. He's not just he's not just a good man. He's not just a good prophet that came to preach truth and to do good deeds. Bless your hearts. He is the eternal Son of God. When he said, "Before Abraham was, I am." You know, but they said, you know, "Art thou yet 50? Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen my father Abraham?" But he said, "And Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." I love that 22nd chapter of Genesis, don't you? I mean, I go back and read it, and every time I just seem like there's another detail about that story that pops out to me. I just love that chapter. Because when God told Abraham, "Take thy son, thine only son Isaac," oh, wait a minute. Didn't Abraham have another son? Didn't he have another son at that time? What was about to happen on that mountain would apply for Isaac, but it would not apply for Ishmael. That sounds like election to me. Declaring the end from the beginning. Go all the way back. You know, the book of Genesis covers about half of human history. Isn't that amazing? The very first book of the Bible covers about half of human history. Oh, there's so many glimpses. So many things. And so, there in that chapter, those things are going to apply to Isaac. Because Paul would say in Galatians, 4 and 16 or 4 and 18, "Now then, brethren, we, as Isaac was, are the children of promise." So what happened there with Isaac applies to Isaac and to all of God's children, but does not apply to Ishmael. Boy, I tell you, when you start preaching that truth to some folks, they get red in the face, don't they? But it's God's truth. God is sovereign, which means he can do what he wants, when he wants, for whom he wants. And so we find that when Abraham took Isaac up there, and I want to get one or two details here. When Isaac, well, I'm sorry, when Abraham raised his hand to slay Isaac, and he looked and he saw that ram caught in a thicket. What I want to emphasize is that he was caught. Here again, we see the purpose of God. That ram was not going to get loose. Abraham was not going to have to chase that ram. That ram was caught because he's representing that provision that God from eternity past had purposed, that he would send his son to this world to be a substitute for his people. As that ram was a substitute for Isaac, we then, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. Bless your hearts, what happened there represented for us Jesus going to the cross as our substitute to pay our sin debt, to pay for the sins we had committed. For he was holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. That ram was caught. When Abraham was blessed to see what happened on that day, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. Before Abraham was, I am. John chapter 8, when Jesus said that. Now, understand, we're talking about the same I am. We're not talking about another I am. I appreciated what someone said about when Jesus comes back, it's going to be Jesus himself. You know, that same Jesus, the angel said, that you've seen go away, shall come back and come again in like manner. This is the same I am. When Jesus said before Abraham was, I am. It's the same I am. It's not another. And bless your hearts, when Jesus talked about the Comforter coming, he said, I'll not leave you comfortless, John 14. I'll not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And what that means is when he says he'll not leave us comfortless, he won't leave us as orphans. He won't and it's not going to be another type of Comforter. It's going to be one just like he is. The Holy Spirit. The same I am. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Bless your hearts. When we find Jesus, when we think about Jesus as the I am, we understand that back in Genesis. Well, let's go to John. John, the Gospel according to John. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. Down in verse 14 it says, and the Word was made flesh. And by the way, that word's a capital W. That means something, doesn't it? The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The eternal Son of God with the Father in the beginning. When you read in Genesis, and God said, and God said, and God said, that's the Word. There with the Father. If you want further proof of that, later on it said, let us make man in our own image. The Son was there as the Word of God with the Father in the beginning. Oh, as we think about it. And there's other verses that we could go to. But my point is, Jesus is the same I am. Bless your hearts, those Jews understood he was claiming that. And that's what infuriated them. Because they didn't believe that he is the Son of God. Deity. If we go through other teachings that we have, especially in the book of John, seven times Jesus speaks of an I am, doesn't he? I think it's seven. Chapter 6, he says, I'm the bread of life. I tell you, we need to feed on that bread every day, don't we? It feeds our soul. It feeds this inner man. It strengthens us and helps us against the temptations that we face. It keeps us in memory of God, what's pleasing to God. It keeps us in memory of what we are and who we are before God. He's the bread of life. John chapter 8, there he would say, I'm the light of the world. He that followeth after me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. shall have the light of life. He that followeth after me shall have the light of life. I was quoting in John chapter 1. I stopped at verse 3, I believe it is. Verse 4 says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. If that life is not in us, we don't have any spiritual light. It has to be there first. Oh, but bless your hearts. He's the light of the world. He that followeth after me shall not walk in darkness. Do we have that light? We want all of that light we can get. Yes. Remember, I remember years ago, Elder Eddie Whidbey, I used to enjoy hearing him say, you know, you can have as much of him as you want. You can have as much of Jesus as you want. So how much of him do you want? How much light do you want? You know, Hebrews 11 tells us, without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And if we're diligently seeking him, we'll find him. Amen. We'll have more understanding. We'll have more knowledge of what he has done. Oh, bless your hearts. He's the light of the world. Not the whole Adamic world, but his people. John chapter 10, he says, I'm the door of the sheepfold. Later in that chapter, he says, I'm the good shepherd. That door of the sheep, I'll jump ahead and get John 14, where it says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Do you believe that? Oh, there's a lot of other religions in the world. There's a lot of other teachings. They're good people, and we've already heard that there's God has a people in every nation, kindred, and tongue. Surely there's just some other way among all those other teachings and doctrines and so forth that folks can get to the same place. Not if you believe this word. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. One of my daddy's favorite verses when he would get into some of these discussions is John 6:44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me, draw him. I'll raise him up again at the last day. You know, I like the old illustration of the well and the bucket. You know, there's probably not too many folks in here that's drawing water out of a well with a bucket. It sure was a good illustration. It's losing its meaning because too many folks don't know what that's like. But you know, when you would let the bucket down, you got a rope on it. And you didn't call the water to you. You didn't invite the water to come out of the well. You had to draw it. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No man can come unto God except the Father which has sent me, draw him. And that word, as I understand it, literally means dragged. Passive. And that's the way it is. So he says, I am the way, the truth. And I appreciate what was said earlier. He is the way. Not he didn't just show it. He didn't just come and live it. He is the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John chapter 11. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. You remember that conversation, don't you? Lazarus had died. And both Mary and Martha said, Lord, if you'd have been here. Well, Jesus had already told his disciples this. Sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. He knew what he would do. Declaring the end from the beginning. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. He knew what he would do. But in the interest of time, Martha said, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection. Jesus said, I am. I am the resurrection. He didn't just say, I'm the one that's going to orchestrate it. He didn't just say, I'm the one that's going to call everybody out of the grave. No, he is the resurrection. There is no resurrection without the Lord Jesus Christ. He came. He died. He saved us from our sins. We have atonement through his blood. We have redemption. He is the one that God from all eternity had purposed to send to this world to save. And he had to do it in a way that would be different from any man that's ever been born in this world. You know, while there's so many, and I understand that even from the pulpits of America, there's so many that don't believe in the deity of Christ and they don't believe in the virgin birth, well, if they don't believe that, and if he's not those things, we don't have a Savior. God purposed to send his son. He had to be born of a virgin. Isaiah had told us, Isaiah 7:14 had said, "Behold, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel." The New Testament tells us that means God with us. God. Yes, he is the one. When he says, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming when all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth." He is the resurrection. There is no resurrection apart from Jesus. There's so much more we could say about that. We got John 14. John 15, "I'm the true vine." We've heard that preached. He's the true vine. We're the branches. Where's the fruit to be born? Out on the branches. How can it do that? From the life that the vine gives. From the nourishment that the vine gives. He's our everything. You know, when he said, "I'm the good shepherd," I don't think I commented on that. Do you want a better shepherd? Can you find a better shepherd than the Lord Jesus Christ?
No.
Thank you. Because there's not one. He's the good shepherd. He's the great shepherd. The chief shepherd, Hebrews says. All right, what I want to get to now. We understand. Eternal God. The I Am. Jesus Christ. The same I Am. Do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God?
Yes.
When did you figure that out? You remember what Jesus said. "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood had not revealed." Mom and daddy didn't do it. Your uncle and aunt didn't do it. Pardon? Preacher didn't do it. That's right. Especially. "But my Father, which is in heaven." But do you believe it? You know, there's degrees of believing. There's a whole lot of folks that believe in Jesus, but they don't believe in the finished work that Jesus did. We're blessed to believe in a finished work that God purposed to save a people before the foundation of the world. He purposed to send his son to this world. He purposed that Jesus would die on the cross. Didn't he? He did. I mean, Psalm 22 is the picture of Roman crucifixion. If Jesus had died at the hand of the Jews, they would have stoned him. Instead, they pierced his hands and his feet. Shiloh had come. The scepter departed. All those things had been fulfilled. All right, here's my point. Do you believe it? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? The Son of the true and living God? Then you're a blessed character. You're blessed. And I want to go to Ephesians chapter 1. Hope you got it by now. All right. The Father, the I Am. The Son, the I Am. If you're blessed to believe those precious truths, if you're blessed to understand the purpose of God, that he elected a people, that he chose a people, that he has redeemed a people, that we are preserved in Christ, that nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. If you're blessed to believe those things, then we am some things. I am. And I want to look at Ephesians 1 for just a few minutes. I didn't even see what time I got started here. Look at Ephesians 1. And if you want to say it with me, that's fine. But I am chosen. I am. It's not something I did. It's something God did for us by His grace. Amen. And I am. I believe it. Don't you?
Yes.
That's not to say we got perfect knowledge of it, but we have an abundance of evidence of it. Romans 8:14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Have you been led by the Spirit of God? Do you have a love in your heart for God? Do you have a sorrow for your sins? Do you have a desire to please Him? Do you have a desire to sing His praises and thank Him for all the blessings you have?
Yes.
The world's not going to do that.
No.
But those that are chosen in Him have that desire.
Yes.
Have that spirit within them. I am chosen.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I could have started in verse 3. I'm blessed. Right? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In Christ. All of our blessings come to us for Jesus' sake.
Amen.
In Christ. That's where our blessings are. I am blessed. How about you?
Yes.
I'm chosen. Before the foundation of the world. According as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. That we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Oh, of myself, I'm not that.
No.
We've heard that ably this morning. I'm not that. But in Christ I am. In Christ I am. Not only that, I am predestinated. Having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ into Himself. According to the good pleasure of the sinner's will?
No.
No. His will.
Amen.
It's getting good, isn't it?
Yes.
This must be why the gospel is good news. I'm chosen. I'm blessed. I'm predestinated. I'm adopted. You know, there's only one begotten of the Father. I've already spoken to you about Him. Bless your hearts. The rest of us have to be adopted into the family. And when we're regenerated, He gives us the spirit of adoption. And we're waiting for that time, for that literal adoption to take place. Romans 8 talks about, to it, the redemption of our body. We're waiting for that. Oh, but bless your hearts. Right now, we rejoice in the fact that we are adopted into the family. What else? We're accepted. How could that be? And I'm, in all sincerity, the sinner that I am, that's another I am, isn't it? As much as we try to walk close to the Lord and walk pleasing, we come so far short. And every time I read that verse, where in Hebrews chapter 2 it says, "For which cause He's not ashamed to call us brethren." Oh, that just does something to me. Every time I read that, that grace is so wonderful. That He's not ashamed to call us brethren. Oh, He has to have washed us clean. He has to have put away all of our sins forever. Forever. We're accepted in the beloved. There's nothing we could ever do of ourselves. Oh, but in Him, in Christ, we're accepted. I'm redeemed. We have redemption. I can say, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, believing in the finished work of Christ, believing in the election of God, I am redeemed. He paid the price in full. Oh, bless your hearts. You know, back when President Ford pardoned President Nixon, did that make President Nixon any less guilty? No, it was just a legal maneuver to relieve him of the consequences. And I'm not going to, you know, I don't get into what that really was, but my point is, there's not going to be a bunch of pardoned sinners in heaven. It's not that it's just brushed aside. No, we are redeemed. The price is paid. God will never demand it again because it's already paid. He's a just and holy God. We're redeemed by the blood of Jesus. I'm redeemed. He goes on. It gets even better. We have redemption through his blood. The forgiveness. I'm forgiven. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
I'm forgiven. You know what forgiveness really boils down to? It's a release. Released from the debt. It's forgiven. That's what he did for us. We didn't deserve it. That's why it's grace. We have forgiveness. We have redemption through his blood. Even the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. There's some enlightenment in that. He's revealed himself to us. He's given us a seeing eye. He's given us a hearing ear. He's given us an understanding heart. We can grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We can rejoice in those things that God has left on record in his true word. As we study that truth and rejoice in it. Verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. I'm gathered. I was lost. You know, we love that hymn that John Newton wrote. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Saved a wretch like I once was lost, but now I'm found. We were separated from God. Oh, but bless your hearts. He chose us before the foundation of the world. He knew what we would do and he loved us anyway. Isn't that amazing? What is amazing about grace is that he saved anybody. And he did. And we're gathered. He said in chapter 10, he said that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth. Why did he say it like that? Remember, God said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They're in heaven. They're in paradise. To be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. That's where they are. They're in heaven. Some of us are alive and remain. We're on earth. When he comes back, he's going to bring the souls and spirits of those that are asleep in Jesus. Now, to us, they're dead. But to God, they're asleep. Those that are asleep in Jesus, he's going to bring them with him. And he's going to raise and fashion these bodies like unto his glorious body and take us home to be with him. Those in heaven and those on earth gathered together. Isn't that what the prophecy back in Genesis 49, speaking about... it just left me. Sorry. Shiloh. Scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver between his feet till Shiloh come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. When those patriarchs of old, when they died, they were gathered to their people. You know, we have a funeral, we gather together, but that's not what that's talking about. They died, and they were gathered to their people. But bless your heart, they are going to be brought back with Jesus. We're going to be changed. We're going to be gathered together and taken home to be with him forever.
Amen.
Oh, bless your hearts. I can rejoice in that too, can't you? Oh, there's so much more. But I'll close with this. Understanding that I am blessed. I am chosen. I am predestinated. I'm adopted. I may leave out some. all these things. As I rejoice, bless your heart, I am rejoicing in God's goodness and mercy. Amen. That's the last I am I want to leave with you. I am rejoicing. Are you?
Yes.
I hear it right now. How about tomorrow? Of course, now those of you who come back here, you'll probably be rejoicing here again tomorrow. But what I'm talking about is when you get out into the world, are you rejoicing then in those blessings that we have by the grace of God? Are we? What kind of a witness are we giving to the world? Are we going around with a sad face as if we lost our best friend? Or are we rejoicing in the goodness and mercy of God that is ours? And out of gratitude and thanksgiving, are we loving one another? Are we showing kindness? You know, you may disagree with me, but I happen to believe that those fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22, all of those are an outgrowth of love to me. An outgrowth, a maturing of love. Love has to be in every one of those. You have to love somebody to be very long-suffering with them. You have to love somebody to be very patient with them. You have to love somebody. Now, just because we have the love of God in our heart, we know we need to be kind to others. But bless your hearts, because if we can just remember these, He's the I Am, He's the eternal, omnipotent, everything that He has ever been, He always will be, and anything that He ever will be, He always has been. Bless your hearts, and He's blessed us to know what He has done through what He purposed and sending His Son into this world. If we can keep that in memory every day, oh, bless your hearts, it'll help us to have more of a smile. And I know sometimes life is hard, but you know what? Even in tough times, you can have the joy of the Lord in your heart. And it'll hold you up. It'll strengthen you. It'll bless you. Remember these things. You know, like Paul said to the Corinthian brethren, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, which I preach to you, which also you received, and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, lest you believed in vain. That's not talking about heaven, is it? We know that. It's saving us from this untoward generation. It's saving us from poor, bad influences. It's saving us from despair. It's saving us from discouragement. It'll save us from what we have to face in this world. So bless your hearts. I hope you'll remember. Not only is He the I Am, but because of what He's done for us, I am all these things by the grace of God. May God bless you, is our prayer.